It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
The Tennessee Titans sit at 4-5. They absolutely have to have it as we get into the middle of November, and they've got the Kansas City Chiefs today. Welcome to the pregame show. Jared Stillman alongside former Titan receiver Chris Sanders, former Titans general manager Floyd Reese. Guys, it could not have gone worse for the Titans at Carolina last Sunday. As the Titans were 4-4, you thought, okay, now's the chance to kind of climb up top, get themselves some breathing room, get themselves on a roll. And they went to Carolina. They missed field goals. They fumbled the ball. They dropped passes. They lose Malcolm Butler for the season. And now in come the Kansas City Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes after they have a thrilling win with backup quarterback Matt Moore against Minnesota. And the truth is, Chris Sanders, Titans have got to have it at five losses.
Yep.
And they're playing a team in Kansas City who, if they're going to get it, they're going to have to earn it.
I mean, you're right. I mean, if you look at the last couple of weeks, why have the Tennessee Titans been losing? I mean, they played against the Broncos, they started slow. They played against the Jags, they started slow. They played against the Bills, they started slow. And they started slow against the Panthers. So what happened? It all ended up in a loss. I just think they got to come out here with an attitude. And I'm not trying to go back to a couple of years back, but when they played them in the playoffs, they were a totally different team than they were during the year. They went out there and said, you know, we understand you have some great players. We understand you have a great quarterback. We understand you have some great wide receivers. We understand you have a great tight end, but you got to beat us today. And I just think if the Tennessee Titans have that type of attitude that you got to beat us today and play with an attitude from in all phases, from offense, defense, special teams, I think I'm trying to muster up. I'm trying to muster
work it up. Work it up.
Help me out, Floyd. Help me out. Help me. I think they can get a win. but it all depends on how they start the football game.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. They've started slow for the last couple of games, and they start slow, in my opinion, for the same reason, which is, you know, they turn around and give it to Derek, and it's 2nd and 12. Or they give it to Derek, he gains a couple, and we get a holding penalty. We get a sack, or we get all the same reasons. And until we can rectify that, and we talked this week, and I said, you know, first down is, in my mind, the most important thing about this game, because they have got to get themselves in position to keep it manageable. And I'm not going with the Derek, well, we got to give it more to Derek. No, I'm not going with any of that. I'm not saying they shouldn't, but I'm saying
whatever gets you 6 yards on first down,
short passing. They're going to have to blend in some other things to get them that 4, 5, or 6 yards, because, you know, Derek early in the game has not worked. So, you know, I'm not saying don't give it to him. I'm just saying we got to be smart on first down early so that we can get off to a good start.
You know, it's just funny to me that, you know, listen to people in the YMCA and listen to people. Everybody's a coach.
That's where Jerry
give the ball. Exactly. I mean, everybody has give the ball to Henry. But how can you give the ball to Henry when it's 3rd and 55? I don't understand. I mean, I understand, and I agree with you, Jared. We do have to give him the ball early. Yeah, you do. But when you're behind the A-ball and it's 3rd and 15 and it's 3rd and 16, giving Henry the ball is not going to help you.
He's out of the game.
He's out of the game.
You know, that's why all of these situations, when they do get the opportunity to give it to him, they need to be sure they can get something that's productive. Mm-hmm. And if they can't do that, if he can't gain yards on first down, then we got to find another way to do it, which means, You know, I think you got to go to the short passing game, and you got to get it to guys quick and let them gain some yardage and go from there. Then, you know, come back to them and see, and, you know, whichever, however it works. But I think they're going to have to do a great job of mixing it up on offense and trying to keep them off balance on defense a little bit.
Let's be honest here. I mean, the Titans are at a stage right now on, what is it, November 10th today?
Mm-hmm.
On November 10th, where they have to play their best game of the year. I mean, there is no way around it. And I know, Floyd, like, you can't go into the meeting room and say, all right, guys, got to play our best game of the year. And you can't do it like LSU did, where Ed Orgeron told his team, hey, we're better at every position, which I thought, by the way, was very gutsy yesterday, mm-hmm. tip of the cap. But, like, this has to be the best game the Titans have played this year. In all three phases, they can't miss field goals. Mm-hmm. They can't if Mahomes gives you a chance to intercept the ball, which the Titans have had a lot of chances to intercept the ball this year and haven't intercepted it all the time. But if Mahomes gives you a chance to do that, you've got to intercept that ball today. You talk about Derek and how he struggles getting going early. He's got to get going early. We talk about all the penalties on the offensive line. You can't get two first downs, be at the Titan 48-yard line, and then get a holding and a false start, and now you're backed up to the 38. You can't do that. Like, those things that have plagued this team all season long, for whatever reason, and I don't know what the reason is, those things today cannot happen. This has to be their best performance.
Well, yeah, I mean, the truth is, we're talking truth here, I mean, the truth is we could go out and play our best game,
and
if they play their best game, we still lose. Mm-hmm. So we've got to play our best game without a doubt, and we've got to find a way to mix them up, to knock a ball loose, to have a fake field goal, to whatever it is, so that we can sneak out, you know, some points that maybe, you know, we haven't been able to get. Because if we just go out there and play our game and get our points, they play their game, get their points, you lose.
You know, just looking at the same time about last year, who did they play? They were playing the Patriots. And before that, they were playing okay at that time. If they come out with that same attitude they played against the Patriots, they pressure the quarterback, they play good on defense, everybody play good on offense, I think that puts them in a position to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. But if they go out there and start slow and getting penalties and missing field goals, you're going to look up and it's 56-0 because they have that kind of offense. And, you know, just listening to Vrabel, and I know he keeps being verbatim about guys doing their job and guys making plays, but it all boils down to 11 guys doing their job on a single play. And if they can do that and convert third downs and eliminate the big plays, I think the Tennessee Titans will be okay.
I just wonder, in this football game, do the Titans have it in them? You know, do they have it in them? Do they have it in them to go out there and not commit the big holding penalty and to finally make a play on special teams? Because special teams has killed this team this season. I feel that Tannehill has it in him. I mean, Marcus, his confidence was at an all-time low when they made the move from Marcus to Tannehill. Tannehill, in three games, I think has played really, really well. Mm-hmm. I know he's got it in him, but does this team have it in him that when they get their big game today, when they get their big play, is there not going to be an illegal hands-to-the-face penalty? Is there not the things that have just killed this team this year?
Well, see, I don't think that's right. It killed them last week. But the 2 weeks before that, I mean, you look at us on a yearly basis, penalties are not an issue. Turnovers are not an issue. Mm-hmm. That's why it was so frustrating last week. Because last week, we went out and did the things when we needed to play flawlessly. We went out and did some of the things that we haven't done all year long. Yeah. Didn't even do them last year. You know, we were like the best team penalties in the league. Right. And turnovers have always been down. But no, last week, we have to go out and do all these dumb things, and it ends up costing you a game. That's why there's so much pressure on a game like this one. That's a really hard game to win. You know, you had a much better chance winning last week.
You know, just looking at the Tennessee Titans offense, they have too many drive killers. I mean, when I say drive killers, is you're driving, and then something happens. It's kind of like when you have a great run by Lewis, then all of a sudden you have a penalty by Lewan. Then all of a sudden you have a great catch by Humphreys. Then you got a hands to the face by Lewan. And then also we have a great screenplay by A.J. Brown. Then a false start by Conklin. I mean, it sounds like a broken record. Something good, something bad. Something good, something bad.
And the people, what's frustrating is then the people will turn around and say, Henry's got to get the ball more. And it's like we're saying, yeah, if it wasn't, you know, second and 30, it'd be a good 35. Idea. But unfortunately.
The offensive line, for whatever reason, let this football team down. And luckily they'll get Ben Jones back
for
today.
Whatever reason. I would say there are several reasons.
Well, I mean, I think there's really, I think there's three reasons why the offensive line has let the Titans down this year. Number one, the star of the offensive line got suspended for the first four games and has not played up to his standard since he's returned. That for whatever reason, whether it's taking him time or whatever he didn't take or did take, I don't know, wink, wink, whatever that is, you know, that's problem number one. Number two, the Titans were not only ill-equipped going into camp at right guard, but the two guys they thought could play right guard both got hurt. And they ended up running a rookie out there that they really didn't want to do. And then the third thing is that there have been so many moving pieces, it's just hard for them to gel as a group.
Yeah, I mean, you lose Ben Jones. I mean, we can't afford to lose Ben Jones. You lose Saffold for three quarters of a game. We can't afford to lose those guys. And yet every week, I mean, they've had to, you know, the offensive coordinators had to go out there and figure out what he can do by whoever's lining up. You know, you got a journeyman center last week. You got a rookie guard. You've got a left tackle that's making mistake after mistake. Mm-hmm. And you're saying, what am I going to do here? What are my options? You know, you get to a point where you just say, well, whatever's left, it's all we can do.
You said a key word, moving pieces. I mean, when you keep switching your offensive line and guys not in and guys making mistakes and guys doing this, you got Douglas playing center. I mean, it's not going to work. I mean, if you look at it in 1999, look at the guys that we had. We had Bruce Matthews, we had Brad Hopkins, Kevin Long, John Runyon, Benji Olsen. Those guys played together.
And
they knew each other.
I don't remember missing games.
They didn't miss any games. And they were nasty too, weren't they, Floyd?
I mean, and it was so amazing. I look back at those and I think, you know, here's Bruce that plays 25 years in a row without missing a game, and here these guys can't make a season. I'm going, I guess things have changed.
And it wasn't, they didn't have that many mistakes either. I mean, they just played, when they played together, Bruce can move the guard, tackle, he can move any position and not skip a beat.
Yeah. Coming up next, we take a look at the four biggest stories from today's game. We go four downs. Coming up next here on the pregame show, and of course, the biggest story, I think we all know, Patrick Mahomes returns for the Chiefs. Jared and the GM, along with Chris Sanders, we're live at the George Jones. It's the pregame show on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Jared the GM, Chris Sanders, we are live at the George Jones, the pregame show. Titans and Chiefs coming up at noon today at Nissan Stadium. It is going to be very red inside Nissan Stadium. I parked over at the stadium, walked across the bridge. The Chief fans are out in full force today.
Yes, they are.
So, in shorts.
Shorts.
I think it's, this is great weather. You know,
well, it'll be 62 at kickoff.
Yeah, 62.
It'll be 62 at kickoff. So if you sit on the east side of the stadium, you'll have the sun on you pretty much the whole game. 62 and sunny is not bad.
But shorts?
You wouldn't wear shorts in 62 and sunny?
That'd be a negative.
You wouldn't wear shorts in 62 and sunny?
I wouldn't think so.
The sun hitting you at 62 degrees, you wouldn't wear shorts.
But when that sun goes down,
the sun would probably feel good.
The sun's not going to go down until after the game.
But you still got to walk to your car.
But it's a noon start. You'll be walking to your car at 2:50.
It's November.
The sun doesn't go down at 2:50 in November.
But it's November.
It's Tennessee.
It's November.
It is not Siberia. Now, it's time now to take a look at the four downs, the four most important stories in today's game, presented by your Middle Tennessee Kubota dealers. First down is the return of Patrick Mahomes. Out with a dislocated kneecap a couple of weeks ago against the Denver Broncos. He missed two games but was jumping up and down on the sidelines last week. He is good to go, says Coach Andy Reid. And even though Matt Moore played well in Mahomes' place, I think we all know it's a different story when number 15 is back there. The reigning MVP returns for Kansas City, Chris Sanders.
Yeah, I mean, he's a great player. And I think – the defense is going to have to know what he's doing at all times. If he's rolling out or anything, the safeties in the corners are going to have to stay with their man, because if they don't stare at their man, he can throw the ball behind his back and make a play. I mean, he just brings so much energy to the Kansas City Chiefs, and he's just capable of making plays when there's no play. So everybody has to do their job from the secondary to the front four. They're going to have to know where he is, because he's got some playmakers. He's got Kelsey, he's got Watkins, he's got McCoy, he's got Williams, and he's going to make sure he puts the balls in their hands so they can make some plays.
Floyd, what's the biggest difference with the return of Mahomes? Because it wasn't like Matt Moore was doing a bad job putting up points, but as we said, Mahomes is a scoreboard light machine.
Yeah, I mean, he's a reigning MVP, so it gives you a clue. But, I mean, he's a great player. And the kind of crazy part for us is he could go in and just play average.
Average, I know.
Be rusty. Yeah. Do all those things. But I think what he gives the rest of the team, because they have such confidence when he's in there.
Yes.
And they figure, you know what, as long as it's not 40-0, he'll find a way to score a touchdown and we'll win. I mean, they've got to be so disciplined with what they do against him, because there are certain things you can't do. I mean, he's going to want to run around and break contain and get out and find a receiver running down for all those things, you know, which affects your rush, and it affects what you do in coverage, because you can't drop guys. Till the whistle blows, you can't drop them, because just about the time you think that you can, or you think the play's over, zip. It goes right past your head. It's a touchdown.
You know, I think Dean Pease is really going to have to earn his money today. I mean, you don't just have to stop Mahomes. You got to stop so many people. Mm-hmm. But if we can stop the quarterback and eliminate the explosive plays and make him be that gunslinger like Favre to throw some interceptions, and we capitalize on those interceptions, I think we'll be in the game.
And you don't know what that knee's going to do. You know, you don't know if, you know, in the third quarter, is it start getting sore? Is it swelling up? Has he taken some hits? Mm-hmm. Have they affected it? You know, we just don't know. And he doesn't know. So, you know, maybe at some point in time we figure out that it's bothering him a little bit. Mm-hmm. And happened with Tua yesterday. I mean,
you can see after the game. Oh, yeah.
After the game, he was just hobbling. And so, you know, the adrenaline early will take care of it, and you won't worry about it. But then you go in at halftime. Then you come back out, cool down a little bit. Now you try to warm up again. Now it's aching. So who knows? You know, maybe I'm looking for you know, a pot at the end of the rainbow.
I wonder if Mahomes is going to be able to plant off that knee the way that he has in the past. Sure. You know, when he just gets going and then he plants and fires it down the field, will that knee be stable enough for him to stick it in the ground and turn around and launch a rocket?
But see, the coaches know that. The coaches know that because they've been watching him in practice. They know if his knee's going to bother him at a certain point, if he plants a certain way.
Isn't that a different level of speed, though?
Yeah, it is. But I think he's going to get the ball out quick and let those guys just make plays. I mean, give the ball to Tyreek Hill. Give the ball to Watkins and guys like that, even if it's a slant and a hitch, and let those guys make plays. So I don't think they're going to have him running around, because when you're talking about a knee injury, was it dislocated his knee? I mean, that's something.
Kneecap.
That's something serious. So he's not going to be out there running around like he was early in the season. I think he's just going to put the ball in the hands of his playmakers.
And the great part about him is he can do it from either foot. You know, he can plant anyway. He can not plant at all, you know, and still throw the ball down the field.
True.
So, you know, it's not like maybe a Tannehill or a more traditional Brady or somebody where they do want to stick that foot in the ground, and they do want. I mean, he throws on the run, crosses body, you know, backwards. Left-handed. he does it all on all different feet.
That takes us to second down.
Second down.
For whatever reason, and there are valid reasons, but for whatever reason, Derrick Henry was held to 2 carries for 4 yards at the end of the first half against Carolina. Derrick Henry had a great second half against Carolina, including a touchdown run and a touchdown catch on a screen pass. I understand Henry has had problems getting going, Chris Sanders, but to me, for the Titans to have any chance to win today, whatever the problems the Titans have had with getting Henry the ball and whatever problems Henry has had with getting going early, he and they have got to figure that out.
See, I don't think it's Henry having a problem or the offensive coordinator having a problem. I just think the situation is causing the problem. And when I say situation, is when you're already second and 15 – you're not going to want to
give. Then you got to stay out of second and 15.
I mean, that's the point that I'm making. But if we just give him the ball early and he goes out there and does what he's capable of doing, that can be huge for the Tennessee Titans, because if he starts converting third down, stays in front of the chains, it keeps Mahomes, it keeps Watkins, it keeps all those guys in the sidelines. That's why it's so important for Henry to have a great start. If he comes out there and, you know, he loses yards or they don't give him the ball early, that's when the problem starts to happen.
And it's not, in my opinion, it's not wanting to give the ball to Henry. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to do that. I mean, Vrabel's come out, he comes out weekly. Yeah, we want to get it to him. But if you don't have the opportunity, you can't do it. And in spite of what people say, oh, it's second and 20. Well, okay. Give it to Derek. Yeah, that'll really help, you know. I mean, yeah. So, and people have to understand that it's not wanting to give it to him as much as you've got to have the opportunity to give it to him, one. And two, when he gets it, he has to make something happen.
Bingo.
Yeah, and also, too, Floyd, to kind of piggyback off what you're saying is, you know, it was 17-0 last week. And all I kept hearing was, get the ball to Henry. Okay, why? Their defense is like, okay, give it to him. Yeah, you may get 5 and 6 yards here and there, but you look up at the game clock, next you know it's fourth quarter, and you're still giving Henry the ball. You just can't do it. I understand people have their own opinions, but you got to look at what's going on situationally in the game. Yeah.
So I'm not here to say that any of that's wrong. I'm not saying that it's this person's fault or that it's Arthur Smith's fault or that it's Derek's fault or that it's whatever the reason that he didn't get going last week against Carolina. That's out the window. Mm-hmm. He's got to get going in the first half against Kansas City. He's going to have a great game today for the Titans to win. And I don't care what the reason is anymore for why they can't do it. Whatever that can't is, they've got to figure it out. If it's, well, the offensive line's giving up too many penalties. Well, guess what? Offensive line's got to not get penalized today. If it's, you know, Derek's more of a, once he gets the ball a couple of times, breaks a couple runs, gets go. Well, Derek needs to start the game with a 15-yard run then, if that's going to be the case. Because he's got to do it today. He's got to get going today. They've got to have him today.
Okay, we're going to play role today, okay? You're going to be Arthur Smith, okay?
Okay.
And then I want you to call the play. It's third and 12. No, okay, the second and 11. What play would you call?
I would not take Derrick Henry off the field on second and 11. I would have him as an option to be used in that play. He could run the ball there. I could play action pass. I could throw with him and pray that he gets
play
his guy.
Play action pass on second
and 11. Floyd, you still can fire people, right?
Yeah.
He's fired from the AC this morning.
I mean, look, I have defended Arthur Smith. I shouldn't say I've defended
but
him.
But his hands are tied, though.
I have given him the benefit of the doubt and not going bananas about it. Like, the fans hate Arthur Smith. And I have not jumped on that bandwagon. Because I do think it's more than just him. I think there's a lot of factors that go into it. But I mean, 2 carries for 4 yards is 2 carries for 4 yards. I don't want to hear any – no excuses. 2 carries for 4 yards is 2 carries for 4 yards at the end of the first half last week against Carolina. You cannot win this week if you do that.
I mean, those reasons aren't excuses. Those are reasons. You want to know why did he only have two – look.
17-0.
Play pass on –
they got back in the game when they were down 17-0, started getting the ball.
Second and 11, second and 12 – play action does not work.
Because the running game's not working.
Because they don't care if you run it. Go ahead, run. Game 5. It's still, you know, 3rd and 7 or whatever.
I'll say I like 3rd and 7 more than 3rd and 17.
Oh, sure.
Which the Titans have been finding themselves
but
in far too often.
We found, you know, we've already decided that 3rd and 6+, we convert 6% of the time. Mm-hmm. So, you know what? They're saying, hey, we'll take our chances. You know, go ahead and do that. 2nd and 7, okay, fine. What are you going to do now? Try to convert. So, I mean, it's all about, you know, what you can and can't do. And it's not excuses.
Right.
You know, it's not like they're saying, okay, my option is give it to Derek or throw it incomplete. No, yeah. I mean, you know, the option is you got to throw the ball and you got to try to find a way to, you know, get a first down, whatever that is.
I just, again, to me, it gets to, well, why didn't Derek get the ball? Well, these are all the reasons why. Okay, fine. That's fine. They're excuses. That takes us to third down. Tannehill has been fantastic.
We saw what he did as coordinator.
Yeah, exactly. He lasted 1 minute.
We saw Ryan Tannehill three games, two 300-yard passing performances. Tannehill has been as effective in the red zone as you possibly can be since he's taken over as quarterback of the Tennessee Titans. Floyd Reese, what does Tannehill have to do today, knowing that the Kansas City Chiefs and the reigning MVP is on the other side?
Well, I mean, he's going to have to find a way to try to keep up, and hopefully that's not keep up to 40. You know, hopefully it's keeping up to 21. And if you can do that, we'll have a chance. But, I mean, if it gets out of way out of range scoring, it's going to be a struggle. We know that. I mean, we just can't. For whatever reason, we can't protect. We can't go without penalties. We can't. And until we get that corrected, I mean, it makes it tough on Ryan. You know, he's got more pressure. I really like his composure. I really like the way he approaches it. I like the way he reacts with his teammates. I like all of those kinds of things about him. And so he's got to go ahead and find a way to, you know, continue doing what he's doing. Do it a little bit better. Mm-hmm. You know, A.J. Brown can't have a dropped pass, a pass interference, and an interception on the same play.
That is a triple
and
point.
Expect to win a game.
That's a great point.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the last couple of weeks, I think Tannehill's been playing well. Last week, 27 for 39 for 331 yards, but the only thing that concerns me is the two interceptions. And I know we can't blame him on both of them, but we can blame him on one of them, especially when he throws it into Tampa too. You just can't do that late in the game. But he just if he keeps doing what he's doing, putting the ball in the playmakers' hands like A.J. Brown, Davis, Janu's playing pretty well, and just let those guys make plays. And if he does that, I think they can definitely be successful.
The hard part, I think, for him is he can't find somebody he can count on day in and day out. You know, he can't find – Janu will go out 1 week and catch five or whatever, and the next week drop two. You know, A.J. Davis. Brown goes out and you know, makes a great play and runs with the ball, and next time it's interception. Mm-hmm. Davis is, you know, whatever. He goes out, plays a great game, disappears. So, I mean, it's not like he can go out there and say, okay, this is my Mr. Reliable. Mm-hmm. I mean, the most reliable thing he's probably had is Sharp. You know, Sharp have, for whatever reason, if he throws it sharp, it's caught and go from there. And so it's not as easy on him as I'm sure we'd like to make it.
And that takes us to our fourth and final down.
Fourth down.
The Titans can't kick field goals. I mean, they cannot kick the Chris Sanders, how demoralizing is it? 7 for 15 on the season kicking field goals.
Champ, I might come out of retirement just to kick field goals. I mean, seriously, man. But you know, it just shows you how important the special teams is. I mean, just looking back, I think it was about 4 or 5 games ago when they missed 4 field goals.
Oh.
They could have won the game. Just imagine last game where they missed 3. So it just shows you, if you're not special in the special teams, it messes up everything. And it just shows you that if you can't make field goals and you can't stop people on special teams, it causes a lot of problems. I mean, even away from that, look at the fake punt conversion. I mean, they happened last week. It just shows you that special teams is so important for a team to win.
Yeah, I mean, we all know that, you know, in this business, if you start changing kickers, you're probably in trouble. Yeah, I mean, there is no solution out there. Mm-hmm. If you've got a guy that you can trust and he goes down, then you're scrambling. You know, you're praying, you're hoping, you want it to work. But the truth is, very few times does it work. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, to get their kicker back, it's got to be a positive. He's got to kick much better than he did last week. We all know that. That's obvious. But, I mean, we have seen him do it. We've got to hope he'll continue to do it.
We are 2 hours away from kickoff between the Titans and the Chiefs on the other side. The offensive keys to the game. We craft the offensive playbook thanks to Boom Boss Craft Pizza and Tap House. We'll get to that next live from the George Jones where the doors have opened. So it's time to come on out for the pregame show, of course, right across the bridge from Nissan Stadium. Jared, the GM, and Chris Sanders. It's the pregame show on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Time to take a look at the offensive keys presented by Boom Boss Craft Pizza and Tap House. Chris, you just asked me a really interesting question.
What's that?
You said, are there going to be any Titans fans in here today?
Oh, my God. It's like 1.5.
The doors to the George Jones have opened, and it is – I mean, I feel like the tomahawk chop is going to bust out of here.
Home of the Chiefs.
I mean, it is – you know what? And we've talked about this. like all through. We've talked about this all throughout, yeah, you know, for the years, Floyd. I mean, this seems like it's a Thursday or Wednesday topic on Jared and the GM every time they play a semi-decent team. And that is, like, the visiting fans that infiltrate the stadium. I don't think this is just a Titan thing. I think this is like an NFL thing, where if you've got a decent city to go to, and the other team is good, the visiting fans will come, and they will come in force.
I think what they do, I mean, if these true fans, like these people obviously are, where they follow the team and travel and do, you know, they'll pick a city that maybe they haven't been or a city they want to go back to. And that's obvious in Nashville. Yeah, yeah. You know, you say, okay, you want to go back to Jacksonville? No. You want to go back to Nashville? Yeah, let's go back there. So I think that's part of it. And you know, let's face it. I mean, Kansas City's, they're expecting to go to the Super Bowl, and they're expecting, you know, they tried to get there last year. So if you're winning, they love you.
Well, they have a great team. Two, they have a great following. And again, and it's not just, like, I think people assume that all the Chief fans are from Kansas City. Mm-hmm. That's not necessarily the case.
Right.
You know, like, if there are Chief fans that are in the South, mm-hmm, this is probably the best opportunity for them. Live in Atlanta, Georgia, this is probably the easiest opportunity that you have in order to go to a game, and it's in a fun city. Hold on. Hey, you Chiefs fans, where are you guys from? So they are from Kansas City. Okay, yeah. So, like, I think there's a lot from Kansas City, but I think there's going to be a lot that are people that are Chiefs fans who are not from Kansas City, and that especially happens, like, when it's the Cowboys or the Packers or one of those kind of teams. And remember in the playoffs when the Titans went there and beat Kansas City, they came out and said, boy, there were a lot of Titan fans at Arrowhead for that game. So I think it kind of goes both ways.
Yeah, but also, too, you have the Kansas City Chiefs as an exciting team. Everybody loves them. I mean, when back in the day, I don't have to say that, but when the Titans played the Kansas City Chiefs there, we were an exciting team at that moment. So it all goes back to, are you appealing and are you exciting? I mean, look at their offense, man.
Oh, no.
They got some dogs over there.
Most of the country will get this game.
See, that's what
I'm
saying.
And it ain't because of the Titans.
Come on, man.
So let's take a look at the offensive keys again, presented by Boombox Craft Pizza and Tap House. Chris, we start with you.
Sure.
If you were developing a game plan today, knowing that Patrick Mahomes and that Chiefs offense is on the other side, and you knew you had to find a way to keep him off the field, what would you do?
I hate to say this because I'm about to agree with you. Let the big dog eat. I mean, you have to find a way to make sure they stay in front of the chains. And if the Tennessee Titans can do that to where they're converting third downs and also have a 10-12 play drive, then now it keeps Mahomes and Watkins and Hill and Kelsey, those guys on the sidelines. But if we just have a three and out and don't start fast and they get the ball and they score in one play 70 yards, then it's just a recipe for disaster. So they have to convert third downs. Tannehill has to protect the ball. He can't have two interceptions like he had last week. And then number three is the offensive line has to protect. I mean, you got Douglas out there. You got Luan. You got, Conklin. Guys need to protect Tannehill and make sure to run the lanes for Derrick Henry.
Floyd Reese?
I mean, I would agree. I go back to my first down. I mean, this is – you're going to have to do something on first down to find a way to gain some yards. And if you can do that, then you're going to get yourself in third down position where you can convert, you can hold on to the ball, et cetera, et cetera. That being said, there's going to have to be an instance, maybe a couple of instances, that you steal some points. You've got to find a way somewhere along the line to squeak out an extra three, an extra seven, an extra whatever you can get, because you're going to need them. I mean, let's face it. You could, like we said before, if we go out and play as well as we have all year long and they go out and play as well as they have all year long, we lose by 15, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's got to be one of those days.
Derrick Henry against the Chiefs in the playoffs 2 years ago, and I know that the Chiefs are a totally different team, the Titans are a totally different team, but in that playoff game, and Mariota had a great game. Mariota threw for 205 in that game. Derrick Henry had 23 carries for 156 and a touchdown.
Ooh.
And that was what, when they were down 18, that's what got the Titans back in the game, was running Derrick Henry. We know the Chiefs' run defense is suspect. And, Floyd, you bring up a great point. A lot of that's because a lot of teams don't run on them that much because they're up by so much. But I do feel like today Derrick Henry is the biggest hope offensively the Titans have to control the game, control the clock, and maybe get ahead and kind of, I don't want to say, you know, enforce their will, because the worst thing that happens is, well, I shouldn't say the worst thing, but say the Titans have a 16-play drive and they score a touchdown given to Henry, and then Mahomes on one play ties the game up. Like those, and that's possible. Yeah. But I do feel like Derrick Henry today has got to be the main guy ahead of everything.
Yeah, I go back to first down. I mean, whatever you got to do on first down to gain yards. That's, you know, in my mind, the absolute most important thing. It's not going to do you any good to just run Derek if he's not gaining yards. That's not what you want to do. And so, you know, if it comes to short passes, I'm not talking about launching it downfield. I'm talking about short possession. Let him catch it. Let him run with it. Great. Now, if Derek is, in fact, gaining yards on first down, let him carry it 60 times. You know, I'd be all for it. I just don't see that happening.
Floyd, what do we think of the Chiefs' pass rush? Frank Clark and that group. Now, gone is Justin Houston. Gone is Dee Ford. But in is Frank Clark. Chris Jones, the defensive tackle, returns. We know the Titans' offensive line is a problem. What do we think of that Chiefs' front against Tannehill and the Titans' offensive line?
Yeah, I mean, the Jones kid's the one that worries me the most. Not taking anything away from any of those other guys. Okay. But he... for his position, you know, a DT, an inside guy, was as good as there was in the league last year. You know, I want to say he finished with like 15 sacks or something, which is Albert Haynesworth style play. If you can get an inside guy that can come away with 15 sacks, that is incredible. Because, I mean, a good DT will come, you know, finish the year with 6 sacks, something like that. So, you know, he is the one that scares me, not only because of who he is, but because of potential matchups.
You know, the only thing that scares me of going against their defensive line is committing so many penalties. I mean, if you look at last week, they committed 11 for 99. You can't do that against as much, because they're going to pin their ears back and come after you.
Yeah.
And then I think with the offensive line, they just got to play nasty and play physical. I mean, if they play physical and hit them in the mouth, that's going to slow that stuff down really, really quick. I think they should make it just a straight dogfight. I know that's not kind of like in the game plan, but it's got to be a straight-up dogfight. And when I say a dogfight, I mean hitting them in the mouth, controlling the line of scrimmage, just like they did in the playoffs 3 years ago.
I wonder what the Titans receivers are going to look like against the Kansas City secondary. I don't really know much about the Kansas City secondary. Obviously, Honey Badger is back there, and Honey Badger is a good player, but it's not like the Chiefs have a great secondary. It looks like Corey Davis will be out. Chris, how did the Titans adjust for that?
Sharp. I mean, Corey Davis hasn't really been a factor in the last 3 or 4 games. The one that's really been a factor is Sharp. Get Sharp the ball. He's been making big plays. He made plays last week and the plays before. You know, just get the ball in those guys' hands and look at the one-on-one matchups. You know they're going to the Chiefs are going to commit to stopping the run. So if they're having 8 or 9 guys in the box, or there's going to be man-to-man on the outside. So if they go cover zeros with no safety help, if they go cover zero, those guys on the perimeter have to make plays. Janu's going to get single coverage. Sharp's going to get single coverage. Even Raymond's going to get single coverage if he comes in the game. The guys have to make plays if they're getting single coverage.
And it's not necessarily, you don't have to throw a fade every snap. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be a post. You know, let's beat them off the line and win with a slant.
Yes.
Let's beat them off the line. Let's run a combination route and find a little curl pattern where the guy's open. Get it to him. Catch it. If he just catches and falls, it's a plus. If he catches and runs, that's a double plus.
Floyd, what do we know about Steve Spagnuolo, the defensive coordinator for Kansas City? First year on the job, Super Bowl winner in New York, formerly with Andy Reid in Philadelphia. Out was Bob Sutton after the AFC title game. In is Spagnuolo. What do we know about him?
He's, you know, he and Andy go way, way back. They've coached together for years. He's changed a little bit, changed what they do. I think they started off slowly. Now, they had the injuries early that did not help them. But they've started slowly, and now they're kind of rounding into form. You know, I think you're seeing them get to the point where they understand what's going on. They're not making mistakes. They don't have, you know, they're we've got Honey Badger at kind of a box safety, and they've got the Thornhill kid who's a rookie playing free safety, but he is playing well. And so, you know, they've traded and messed around with their corners for the last couple of years. And I'm not sure that's a strong suit of their defense. And therein, you know, lies maybe a hope for you.
Yeah, and also he's going to bring pressure and out-scheme you. You know, he's one of those coaches that's going to make sure he takes away your best guy and make you beat him somewhere else. And he's going to bring pressure to where you least expect. I mean, these are two quality coaches, man. And you just look at what they're doing. They're going to out-scheme you on offense, and they're going to out-scheme you on defense. And that's what makes these guys so special.
Coming up next, we flip the script. We take a look at the other side of the ball. What about the Titans' defense? What in the world are they going to do against Patrick Mahomes? What in the world are they going to do? We'll get to that coming up next. We are live from the George Jones. It is the pregame show on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Time to take a look at the defense presented by Boombox Craft Pizza and Tap House as we are live. Patrick Mahomes, LeSean McCoy, Sammy Watkins, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, who honestly might be the best of that entire group, Mecole Hardman, Damian Williams. Have I forgotten anybody?
McCoy?
I said him.
I said McCoy? Okay.
But I'm sure I've forgotten somebody. Floyd Reese, you're the defensive coordinator here. And I'm sure you've had some doozies back when you were with the Vikings. I'm sure there was the Dallas Cowboys back in the day, and you tried to figure out how to stop them. And when you were with the Titans and you had Jimmy Smith and Keenan McCardell, you had to stop at Jacksonville and the Rams in the Super Bowl and all. How do you stop this offense? How do you slow this offense down? You keep the Chiefs from scoring 45 points today in Patrick Mahomes' return?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing you have to realize is you're not going to stop them. The second thing, I think, is you have to realize you're going to be patient. You got to be patient. The third thing is I think you've got to change it up, and you've got to not drop anything from the playbook, because there'll be points in time you will need it all, which is good with this defense simply because we've got mature guys and got veteran guys and guys that have been in the system for a while, and that allows you to do some of this. The point being that whatever you choose to do as a defensive coordinator, if I'm going to choose to blitz on this down, I have to be sure the blitz is going to get there or the blitz is going to affect the play. You can't just all of a sudden feel like, okay, let's blitz this snap. You know, I feel like, no, you've got to say to yourself, all right, this is the formation. I know the way they're going to protect. This is the best blitz I can run. If same thing, if you're going to play zone, that's fine, but let's do it at the right time against the right formation and play, so that, you know, you don't want to end up blitzing against max protect, because they're going to hold on to it. He's going to stand back there or dance around in the back and find a guy downfield. We're going to have to do a great job of trying to contain Mahomes. He is much, much better, much, much more devastating when he's moving with the ball. He gets outside the pocket. He starts dancing around. As soon as the receivers see that, they all adjust. Now he finds somebody downfield, gets the ball to him, and you're probably in trouble. So they're going to have to do that. All the rest of it, I mean, you're going to get caught in this. I'm going to play man for man this snap. Okay.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Uh-oh. You're running a risk. You know what it is.
Yeah.
Then you say, okay, I'm going to play zone this snap. Kelce's going to kill you. So, you know, you want to drown in the Atlantic or the Pacific. Either way, you drowned. And so I think you're just going to have to be smart and make those guys understand, okay, we're playing zone, hug up on the tight end, because that's where they're going to want to go with the ball.
You know, I agree with Floyd. Everything he said is we just got to play fundamental football. I mean, that's all it is. I mean, if you look at what we have to do, and I know this may sound cliche-ish or coach talk, and it sounds so simple, but we have to tackle. We have to tackle Kelce. We have to tackle Watkins. We have to tackle Hill. We have to make sure these guys are tackling. We got to make sure we got to know where these guys are at. I mean, Kelce, he may be in the slot. He may be on the outside. We got to figure out ways to double him at the right time. If you double him and you don't double Hill, you might see a 70-yard touchdown. But if you double Hill and then you don't double Kelce, you might still see a 70-yard touchdown. So we just got to be disciplined in our play. Whoever catches the ball, we got to tackle. 8 and 9 hats on the ball. I know it sounds simple, and I know it sounds cliche-ish, but if they catch the ball for 5 yards, tackle them right on the spot. That can help you.
We're going to have to, if it, by chance you call a blitz and you look out there and you've got a matchup that you really don't like, you've got a safety on one of those jet receivers, you got to get out of it now. You know, you can't risk running that play because that could be a touchdown. You've got to be able to get out of it and do something else, go into a zone, whatever the case may be. And this defense should be mature enough to be able to do those things.
What do we make of the fact that Patrick Mahomes returns and we don't know the severity or the length of the injury and how much, how limited could Mahomes be? You talked about watching during the week, Floyd, a warm-up video of him and not feeling like he looked 100% when he was out there. How much of a factor could that play into today's game?
Well, again, it could. I mean, I don't know that it will fit in early, but I think as the game wears on, if it's going to be a factor, then it'll be a factor later on after some of the adrenaline drains and you get down to the just blue-collar work part of it. But it could be a factor. I mean, that thing could easily fatigue, could get sore, could swell, could, you know, all of those things. Because in spite of going through practice, you know, what he saw in practice is going to be nothing like he's, or I hope it's nothing like he's going to see today, which is, you know, hopefully he's going to get hit a few times.
And I would test him early. If I was Dean Pease and we had a corner and we were, the ball was on the left hash and we're in the boundary, I would send a corner. Because if I send a quarter, then he's got to come off his spot and maybe have to run. So I would test him early and see what he can and what he cannot do. And if he can't run and he can just throw the ball, I'll sit back in coverage and I'll send some pressure between the A and B gap.
Injuries are becoming an issue for the Titans defense. Jarrell Casey out today. Malcolm Butler out for the season with a broken wrist. Chris Sanders, how much will the Titans miss both of those guys today?
Okay, they got to go against Kelce, Hill, Watkins, Hardeman. They got to go against him.
No Malcolm Butler, no Jarrell Casey.
No, I mean, you just showed you how important Jarrell Casey was last week when you had McCaffrey run a 58-yard touchdown right through the A-gap. So that just showed you how he's going to be missing. Now, you look at Butler, who doesn't have the top-end speed, but he can cover those intermediate routes. But then you got another guy that's coming in that's not as good as him. You don't think that, you know, Mahomes and the offensive coordinator is going to lick their chops and go after? I think it's Sims. Yeah, Sims is going to be out there, and they're going to go after him. So I just think that, you know, Dean Pease cannot put that secondary in a bad position to where if they go man-to-man with these guys, that's where they're going to get in trouble.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. Those two guys are valuable elements. And you can't, you know, of all the weeks to lose a corner, a starting corner, I mean, this may be the worst, but there's nothing you can do about it. It is what it is. Casey, I was disappointed last week in the rookie.
You Simmons?
Know, I thought Simmons had come in and not fill the role, but would be a factor, and he was a non-factor. And so this week, Simmons is going to have to be a factor. He's going to have to help you on the inside runs, and he's going to have to give you some kind of pass rush. Now, he may not be conditioned to the point that he can do it every snap, but when he is in there, he's going to have to be a force.
I just don't – like, I'm trying to find a weakness in the Kansas City offense. And I'm thinking, okay, is the offensive line, is there something the Titans can take advantage of? Is there any weakness Kansas City has that the Titans defense, that Dean Pease might be able to expose? With the Patriots last year, it was the interior of their offensive line. Dean Pease attacked them and went crazy on them, and it worked, and they got to Brady, and probably the worst performance Brady had the entire season. Is there a weakness, Floyd Reese, to the Kansas City offense?
Well, I mean, they've had a couple of linemen that have been injured, but I think they're supposed to be back. I mean, the truth is, you know, we're as unhealthy as we've been all year long, and they're as healthy as they've been all year long. So, you're going to have a couple offensive linemen that are going to be rusty, but, I mean, they've got two legitimate tackles. They've got, you know, a right guard that is the real deal and a center that I got to like. So, you know, there aren't many. I mean, let's face it, they've built – this whole team is built around Mahomes and, you know, fast receivers. That's the game.
I think the only weakness they may have is if they don't show up. I'm serious. I mean, because this is a special team, and I know I'm being kind of facetious and being funny, but if Mahomes doesn't feel good the whole game and Moore has to come in and play, that's maybe the only weakness that you have right there, because Mahomes is one of those guys. He's a gunslinger. He's going to make plays, and he makes everybody around him better. But just say he gets hurt. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm saying he gets hurt the first or second quarter and Moore comes in. That's probably the only weakness that you have. It's a quarterback situation.
Okay, now, what do we know about Andy Reid offensively and what Andy's going to want to do, Floyd?
I think you're seeing it right now. You know, Andy has not been at Kansas City, has not been a disciplined route runner guy, you know, with this offense. They've had, and we saw the story this offseason where the, you know, the quarterback tells Hardeman, you know, he's messing around trying to run a route a certain way. He says, just run down the field. Just run down the field. I'll throw it to you, and that's what they do. You know, Kelsey is going to get inside, and he's going to dance around and move around, find a soft spot. Mahomes is going to get him the ball. You know, it's not the finely tuned, you know, precise offense that you see. But with this quarterback, it's hard to tell.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's not – they don't run exact routes. They don't – you know, it's kind of go down, get open, find a thing, and he starts scrambling.
Yeah.
They move to avoid. Ball comes. They're off and running.
I think what Andy Reid does well is he's going to put you – he's going to show you a whole bunch of formations. He may be an empty set. He may be a 21 personnel. He's going to make the defense adjust to what they're doing, and that's kind of why, you know, Andy Reid is special. I mean, he's a great play caller, and I think he's going to add formation, get to depth, and I think the Tennessee Titans secondary in their front is going to have to know where everybody's at.
What did we –
and I think they do – I think he's exactly right. The thing – the real thing is, though, the number of plays they run – aren't that varied,
right?
You know, and we see this all the time in the NFL, where you dress it up and you jet motion it and you shift and you do all those things to run a dive, you know. And so, and I'm not sure that they have tremendous variety in what they do, but they do dress it up. I mean, they give you all kinds of different looks to run the same play.
I wonder what the biggest difference between Andy in Philadelphia and Andy in Kansas City is. The offense with Mahomes as opposed to the offense he used to run for forever with Donovan McNabb.
Well, I mean, the quarterback is –
I mean, Donovan wasn't going to throw it 55 yards on a dime and all of that.
And Donovan was not necessarily a, you know, get out in the open, you know, dance around for a while, let somebody get open and get the ball to him like this kid is. I mean, this kid is – this is like Deshaun Watson. Just all those guys are the same way. I mean, they are so comfortable out of the pocket. They are so comfortable moving around with the ball. And the receivers do such a good job of seeing him break contain, seeing him in the open, and everybody adjusting to it. They know exactly what to do, where to go. And he's going to dance around enough until he can get him the ball. And it works, you know.
We're about 2 hours and 30 minutes to kick off between the Titans and the Chiefs. We'll have the inactives when they come out, who's in, who's out, plus Mike Vrabel's keys to the game and much, much more, all coming up as we are live from the George Jones. It is the pregame show on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And we are less than an hour and a half away from kickoff between the Titans and the Chiefs at Nissan Stadium. Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, Floyd Reese, live from the George Jones. And there are some big names that are out for today's game. If we want to get right to the inactives, we'll start with the Kansas City Chiefs. Here's who's out for the Chiefs. Offensive lineman, former number one overall pick, Eric Fisher, is out today for the Chiefs. Offensive lineman, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, is out.
Starting guard.
Is out for the Chiefs. Running back, LeSean McCoy is out today for the Chiefs. Defensive lineman Alex Okafor is out for the Chiefs
today.
Defensive lineman Mike Pennell is out for the Chiefs today. Quarterback Chad Henne is out for the Chiefs today, which means that Matt Moore will continue as the backup. And corner Kendall Fuller is out for the Chiefs today. So, Floyd Reese, you take a look at the Chiefs inactives. Some pretty big names on that list.
Well, and we were talking about the offensive line and, you know, possible weaknesses, and you know, it looks like, you know, they may match up with Casey. You know, they're missing their guys, we're missing our guy. you know, which makes a guy like Simmons even more important.
But, Fisher is their left tackle, right?
They moved him. They move him from left to right, and I don't know. They've got the kid from Cal.
Schwartz.
is a starting tackle, and I don't know which. I want to say he's the left, but I'm not positive.
And so two offensive linemen out for the Chiefs, Casey out for the Titans, and then, of course, LeSean McCoy out today.
Yeah, he really hasn't done a great deal for him. You know, the other kid, the Williams kid.
Damian Williams.
That's the one you better worry about.
Out for the Titans today, corner Ty Smith, center.
Ty Smith.
Yeah.
They just signed him when they cut Malcolm Butler. Center Honoris Grasso is out, which means Ben Jones will make his return. Guard Kevin Palmfield is inactive again this week.
What the hell is he doing?
I don't even know. I mean, if you're going to keep him on the team, you might as well keep him up.
What a waste of time.
When Floyd says a bad word, it's real serious.
But no, seriously, they cut Aaron Stinney yesterday. They've already gotten in two games this year where they don't have any extra offensive linemen. You came into the year thinking Palmfield was going to be your starter.
Yeah.
He's healthy, and now you won't play him. Like, why is he on the team? So, whatever. Palmfield out. Then here come the big names. Delanie Walker, Jarrell Casey, Jayon Brown, Corey Davis, all out today for the Titans.
Woo! I mean, the one that sticks out to me is Casey. I mean, we saw it last week when they played the Panthers, and we wasn't as dominant on the defensive line as we usually are because Casey is that guy that anchors that defense. And when he's gone, that's a big piece of the defense that's gone. So I just think that somebody, whoever plays that position that comes in, they're going to have to make sure they try to maintain or try to stay a leaf above water to do what he does.
And the hard part is, you know, with a guy like Casey at that position, he can play the run, he can play the pass, he can do whoever comes in short of Simmons. Whoever comes in is kind of a one-dimensional guy.
Right.
You know, they'll bring in a guy to
Isaiah
play Mack. Play the run. Then they'll bring in a guy to rush the passer. But you're constantly moving guys because you're trying to match up best way you can.
Who are the guys that can rush the passer without Casey in there?
Wake. I mean, maybe Wake.
Simmons. Well, yeah, they can move one of the defensive ends inside and do it that way if they want. But, I mean, other than that, you're talking about probably Mack, and you're talking about Simmons.
Or even Landry.
And yeah, I mean.
Landry will be on the field no matter what.
Yeah, any one of the outside guys that you move inside, you know, will give you a chance. But as far as the DTs, you know, probably those two guys.
What do we think of the injury to Jayon Brown? Now, he had a groin injury, missed a couple of games, returned for a game, played the Carolina game. It looks like he re-injured the groin. I mean, Jayon 2 years ago had no prayer of covering Travis Kelce in the playoff game. But you do wonder, as Jayon continues to get better, if Jayon could have been a guy who played a big role today against Travis Kelce. He's now out. What do you do to replace him? Woodyard obviously cannot cover Travis Kelce.
Brown
David Long Jr. cannot cover Travis Kelce. So what do you do now kind of to replace that spot?
Well, I mean, you don't. You know, we don't have anybody of Brown's skill set that can do that. Woodyard will be good only because he's a veteran guy that's played against Kelce a lot. When he was at Denver, you know, they played him twice a year every year. So, you know, will smarts help enough? Will experience help enough that, you know, maybe you know a little bit more about him, a little bit more about what he wants to do? But if it comes down to just a race, you know, then we're not winning.
Can Evans cover him?
Zero
Can this
chance.
Be where they say, Woodyard, your run, Evans, even though Evans has been more the run guy, Evans, with your speed and your size, you've got Travis Kelce.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I mean, he has not done much in coverage now.
But wasn't that one of the reasons they traded up and drafted him, was his size and his speed would allow him to?
I don't know. But he has shown a lot more being a rusher than he has being a cover guy, in my opinion.
But, you know, when you're coming to tight end, it's not just about putting a fast guy on a fast guy. I mean, Kelce is basically a wide receiver playing tight end. So when he does those little things at the top of the route, a linebacker can't recover because his hips are locked. When I say his hips are locked, that means he's going opposite the way the receiver's going, and that's exactly why Kelce's so good. It's, I mean, even a safety can't cover, can't cover him. Even some of the best corners in the league can't cover him. So even if Brown was healthy, or if they put Evans on him, or Landry, whoever, you're going to have to double this guy. You're going to have to put a safety on top of him, or underneath him, and put a, a corner underneath him, and a safety over top, and play brackets, and hope he doesn't make the play.
Yeah, or you can bracket maybe with a linebacker and a safety.
Yeah.
The problem is, when you do that, and I understand why you would do it, well, now you're left with one safety, and you've still got Hardeman, and you've still got That's why you have to be so careful about when you do that, because you don't want to. You know, I'm going to guess they're going to want safeties floating around back there as much as they can get them, just simply because they want to prevent the ball from going down the field so fast.
Corey Davis inactive in the upset over the Patriots last year. One of the biggest keys in that game was Corey Davis's production. Guys, we're in year three for Davis, and Davis has shown flashes of being a good receiver, but they're going to have to decide at the end of this year if they're going to pick up the fifth-year option on Davis, which is going to be a lot of money because he was the fifth pick in the draft. I mean, is Corey Davis running out of opportunities? I know he's hurt today, but today would have been a great opportunity because you know the Titans are going to have to throw the ball. Davis is out. I mean, I'm worried that the rubber is starting to meet the road on Davis. And he's shown flashes that he can do it, but...
You know, number one, it's about getting the opportunities. I mean, there's games where he does get the opportunities. I know you hate that word. But when he gets the opportunities, he needs to make the most of it. But in my opinion, I don't think they're going to skip a beat because Sharp has been playing better than he has in the last couple of games. Sharp's been making big plays. He made a play last week, the week before, and he made two touchdowns in the last two games. So I think they're going to replace, they're going to put Sharp there and let Sharp make plays. And without Corey Davis, I think they're not going to skip a beat.
I worry about Davis. I mean, I worry about his inconsistency in production. But I get more worried about the injury thing. Yeah. You know, it seems
it's
like
always a hamstring.
There's always something with him. And I don't, you know what? I mean, we all know guys that are nicked up all the time, but they still play. Well, he's nicked up all the time and doesn't play. Yeah. And that doesn't do me a lot of good.
I just think that Corey Davis is in a tough spot because he was never really good enough to be the fifth overall pick, but the draft dictated that he was the top receiver on the board. The Titans were sitting there at five, needed a receiver, and the other teams in the league were too stupid to realize how good Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes were in order to trade up and take those guys with that fifth pick. So the Titans draft Corey Davis. Then they change coaches. Then Davis gets hurt. Then they change coaches on Davis. Then they change quarterbacks on Davis. All the while, Davis keeps getting hurt. Now, Davis is hurt again. And we can sit there and say all we want that, hey, he was the fifth overall pick, but that doesn't mean that he's going to be A.J. Green, and that doesn't mean that he's Julio Jones. And we can say he's not getting the opportunities, but if he was Julio Jones, I promise you he'd be getting the opportunities. The truth is to Floyd's point, Corey Davis has just not performed enough and has not stayed healthy enough. And he was the fifth overall pick, and that fifth-year option is going to be astronomical because he was the fifth overall pick. I think his days are numbered.
But I think we're trying to figure out what is he. I mean, is he a deep threat or is he a slot? I mean, or is he kind of like a Humphreys?
What do you think he is?
I don't know. I mean, because, you know, he'll catch the curls, he'll catch the ends, he'll catch the hitches. But when's the last time we see him take the top off a defense and catch a post? So the verdict is still out. What are you? You know, we know what Humphreys is. He's not going to be too deep. He's a slot receiver. He's going to catch the 10-yard and move the chains. We know what Sharp is. He's a red zone guy. He's going to jump up and catch the fades or catch a ball in the back of the end zone. We know what Jonnu is. Jonnu can stretch the field by running seams. But what is Corey Davis? Is he a deep guy or is he an intermediate guy that's going to catch the pass? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was last week he tried to run a go against somebody. And
yes,
he really labored. You know, I mean, it was a struggle for him to try to get up to speed. And, you know, you see that and you kind of go, you know, I mean, for a fifth pick,
you got to go.
You got to go.
Coming up next, we'll chat with TD, Teron Davenport, on the field at Nissan Stadium. How does Patrick Mahomes look? What does he think the Titans are going to do a defensive line without Jarrell Casey? We'll get into all of that coming up next as we are live. It is the pregame show live from the George Jones on ESPN 102.5 The Game. The pregame show is live from the George Jones downtown as the Titans get set to take on the Chiefs. And there are a lot of Kansas City fans at the George Jones getting ready for kickoff, which is about an hour and 15 minutes away at Nissan Stadium. Titan season may, in fact, be on the line as they sit at 4-5. Patrick Mahomes will make his return for the Kansas City Chiefs, and we're joined now live from Nissan Stadium by our very own Teron Davenport from ESPN.com. TD, let's start with Mahomes. How does he look?
Mahomes looks fine. I saw him go through his little pre-warm-up routine. He was chucking the ball around. I don't think there's any issues, man. And he said he was, during practice last week, they said that he was practicing his cross-body throws. So I think you're going to get the full version of Patrick Mahomes today.
When you watch him move as he warms up, is he running around and planting on that knee, and is he jumping off of that knee? What do you see when he's warming up?
Well, I didn't see any reservations, man. He looked fine. There weren't any issues. You know, he's bouncing around. He's stretched it out. I will say he went through an extensive routine, you know, stretching that thing out. But, again, I don't think there's any issues, man. There's no question he's going to be full go. And, like I said, we're going to get the full version of the move.
With Casey down and missing a corner, how do you expect them to line up the corners and the DTs?
Well, that's a good question. Me, personally, I would go zone. But it seems like they're going to give some man looks. So I expect to see some man. But, I'm going cover two all game. That's what I would do against this team that has or cover three. You know, against Tyreek Hill, man, you got to just make sure you have someone deepest of the deep. But it's just one of those things where they have that confidence in LeSean Sims, and they are going to go – they're going to give some man looks. I think they're looking at what the Colts did. I think they're looking at what the Texans did against them, and there were times where they went man, and it's almost like that Colts game is the blueprint. That's the game that you want to copy. So I expect to see them go man a lot today.
With Butler down and with Smith down, if they get nicked at corner, what do they do?
I guess it's another week where they got to, you know, two taps to the lips and point in the sky and pray, man. I don't know what they would do if they have one of the guys go down. I mean, I guess Byard would have to play some corner. I mean, I thought for sure they would have had Smith active today just because of that. So, honestly, that's a question I can't give you an answer to.
You know, just kind of switching gears to the offense a little bit. You know, with Corey Davis out, who needs to step up and make plays in that receiving core?
Oh, I mean, without a doubt, it's A.J. Brown. I think this is a chance for him to continue to assert himself as a number one type receiver. But Humphreys, too, man. You know, that matchup of Humphreys, if Kendall Fuller is able to go, you know, full go, I think that matchup in the slot is one that they have to take advantage of. Because for me, the whole way that you play this Chiefs team is ball control, right? So obviously you want to run the football, but you also want high percentage throws. And that right there is where Tannehill to Humphreys in that slot is where they have to go. So I would say Humphreys, more than anybody, needs to step up. This needs to be a signature game for him this year.
You know, everybody's been talking about that Henry needs more carries. He needs to get the ball early and often. For the Tennessee Titans to win this game, how many carries do you think that Henry needs to have for the Tennessee Titans to win this game?
I think this game he needs at least 25 carries. This game, I'm not saying consistently, but this game he needs 25 carries. Again, you go back to that Colts game, they want shoe to shoe, and they stuff the ball down the Chiefs' throat, and they played keep away. That noise you hear is for the Chiefs coming out, not the Titans, by the way. But it's crazy, you know, looking at that blueprint that the Colts had, that's what you got to stick to. 25 carries, keep feeding them and feeding them, get them outside into that alley and onto the perimeter.
Last one for you, Teron Davenport with us, TDESPN.com. If the Titans are going to win today, why?
They can win today if Derrick Henry rushes for over 120, they have zero turnovers, and they hold the Chiefs to under 24 points. That's a lot of ifs.
That is a 24 points is a tall order for the Kansas City offense. But I don't disagree with anything you said. Teron Davenport, ESPN.com. TD, we look forward to hearing from you later throughout the week and, of course, on ESPN.com.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it.
Thanks, TD.
We'll see you. Teron Davenport joining us here live from Nissan Stadium. So he says 120 for Henry, which Henry has only gone over 100 yards one time this year. 120 for Henry. No turnovers, which under Tannehill, the Titans have been turning the football over. Now, they, you know, not at an alarming rate, but they still have been turning it over more than they were turning it over before. And under 24 points holding the Chiefs offense. Chris Sanders, which one do you think will be the hardest of Teron's three little keys he lays out there?
I know we're talking about Henry needs to have 120 yards. But you don't think the Kansas City Chiefs know that? I mean, they're going to put about 200 people in the box to try to stop Henry. I mean, that's what they're going to do. Because
I mean, they remember what happened 2 years ago in the playoffs. He ran for 150 and they lost.
So they're going to stack the box and make you beat them in the pass. So I think the hardest thing for the Tennessee Titans to do is going to be probably running the ball.
Floyd, which one do you think will be the hardest key for them?
I would think the 24 points.
I agree.
Yeah. Ooh, 24 points for them is, you know, one half. So if we can do that, it'd be great.
Well, I was just thinking in my head, it's more likely that the Chiefs score 24 in the first half than it is that they don't score 24 for the game.
Yeah.
The Chiefs on the season, if you look at, they average 28. But if you look at their season, Kansas City, as soon as they got to the regular season, 40 against Jacksonville, 33 against the Ravens, and the Ravens have a good defense. 33 against the Ravens, 34 against the Lions, only 13 against the Colts, which goes back to TD's point about, hey, if they go out there and play keep away like Indianapolis did, 13 against the Colts, 24 against the Texans, 30 against the Broncos, 24 without Mahomes against the Packers, and 26 against the Vikings. So it's not like 24 has not been done this season by teams that we think the Titans are comparable to, Indianapolis and Houston.
Yeah, I mean, it can happen. There's no doubt, but I mean, it's tough. You know, they score at will, it seems.
But they only scored 13 against the Colts.
Because they ran the ball really, really well.
Well, don't we think the Titans have to run the ball well today?
Yeah. I mean, we thought that all year long.
I just
like
think the one thing that bothers me.
100-yard rushing day.
The one thing that bothers me about this game, or at least bothers me about the Titans in general, and it may be the local media and the way that they approach the Titans, is the Titans have no choice but to play better than they've played all season today. They have no choice. There is no way around it. So this idea of, well, I mean, it's going to be hard to keep Kansas City to 24 or less. You're damn right it's going to be hard, but you have to do it if you want to win today. There is no more choice. There is no more I'm sorry. This team is the poster child for I'm sorry. This team has asked for more chances than Bobby Petrino has. This is where we're at. So, like, I'm tired of Taylor Lewan after games telling me we got to do better, or the coach saying we got to coach it better, or I'm tired of that. Here's your shot. You have to play the best football you've played all season, all three phases, and if you don't, you will get your ass kicked. And I'm okay with that. But today, there's no more excuses for me with the Titans.
I mean, if you look at the Titans, the history of the Tennessee Titans, every time – their back is against the wall, they figure out a way to win.
Especially under Vrabel.
Especially under Vrabel. And I think today they can do the exact same thing. Everybody's talking about Kansas City. Everybody's talking about Mahomes. Everybody's talking about the explosive players that they have. But if the Tennessee Titans could jump out fast and get a fast start and put the pressure on them as opposed to them putting the pressure on us, I think the Tennessee Titans can come out and win because they've always played well when their back is against the wall. Okay.
Yeah. I hear both of you.
Like, what would you say to this team if you were coaching them?
Because your
mentality is literally just like, something.
Well, I mean, what you tell the team and what you think or what you anticipate are different things. You know, so you're going to tell the team all the things you want you want them to hear. Hey, this is what we need to do, and we're going to change it up, and no turnovers, and we got to run the ball and all. I mean, I'm with you. I've heard all that, you know. But if our offensive line can't block,
right,
you know, their DT, running the ball is going to be really, really hard. And so, and we have not done a good job of that, you know, throughout the year. So, you know, I mean, I'm looking at things that we've done and things that we've done effectively and said, okay, you know, how can we mold this so that we can get to a point where we can win the game? And I think Tannehill, the one thing that we've done a good job of is Tannehill has the ability to throw the little short dink passes with accuracy, with velocity. He makes good decisions, and that's if we can catch it, that'll give you a chance.
I mean, if you look at I'm just looking at this whole game, and I'm just kind of valuing what the Tennessee Titans need to do. They need to be aggressive in every area of the ball game, even with the coin toss. Don't even defer. Say we want the ball. That's the kind of attitude that they need to have from offense. Let's give Henry the ball and make plays with the play action. On defense, let's stuff Mahomes and let's stop those big play receivers. I know that's wishful thinking. I know it's not Christmas yet. But the thing about it is they have to play with an attitude in every phase of the game.
Coming up next, we have our picks to click, plus Mike Vrabel's keys to a Titans victory, and, of course, our game day predictions and much more, all live from the George Jones. It is the pregame show. It's ESPN 102.5, the game. And it is time for Picks to Click, powered by Wholesale Inc., powered by RumbleOn.com, as the Titans get set for the Chiefs. Now, a lot of things are going to have to click for the Titans to have a shot against Kansas City as we're 1 hour from kickoff. And I know y'all missed me last week on Picks to Click.
No.
Y'all didn't miss me at all.
Not at all.
Y'all did not miss me on the pregame show when I was not here, and Nick probably did a great job. But, you know, the Picks to Click, I hit the two picks to click the week before and didn't even get to brag about it, which was probably the toughest part. But it is time for our picks to click again, presented by Wholesale Inc., powered by RumbleOn.com. We start with you, Chris Sanders. Your picks to click. Who has to click today for the Titans in order to beat Kansas City?
Okay, on offense, I'm going to go with A.J. Brown.
Why?
It's because Corey Davis is out, and this is where A.J. Brown can really show that he can be a number one wide receiver. I mean, this is the perfect storm for him to go out there and show that he's capable of making big plays.
I think A.J. Brown's got to first catch the ball, not get a pass interference call, and not let the other team intercept the ball. A.J. Brown has shown flashes of being great this year, and then he had that play, and then had the one he dropped against Indianapolis. And I'm with you. It's time for him to go out there and show he
can.
Can
I change my pick after you get all that?
No, you may not. Defensively, who's
going to I'm going with Simmons. I agree with Floyd Reese that Simmons has got to show up on defense. With Jarrell Casey being out, we got to have somebody to stuff the run game, to put pressure on Mahomes and really control that line of scrimmage. And looking at that Tennessee Titans defense, he's the only guy that can really control the line of scrimmage and be very, very physical.
Simmons, a non-factor after playing pretty well in two games, a non-factor last week against Carolina. They're going to have to get him going. I mean, with Casey out, he's going to have to be somebody who steps up and goes out there and makes plays. Floyd, for you, who are your picks to click today for the Titans?
On which one?
Let's start offensive.
On offense, I'm going to go with the tight ends and slots, which, you know, you're talking about basically Jonnu and Humphreys. Simply because I think they will be adequate against the outside guys, and I'm not sure without Davis exactly what we have with the outside guys. I know Jonnu and I know Humphreys, and they're going to be important, so I expect them to be a factor. On defense, I'm going to go with the safeties, with Byard and McCarl. I mean, they have got to. They're going to get some opportunities today for picks, and they're going to be forced to be in the right place. They're going to be forced to take great angles to the ball. They're going to be forced to do all those things. And if they do that, then maybe they prevent big plays, which might be as important as anything else in this game. If they don't do that, then, you know, you're going to see that score jump.
Byard has had two really regrettable highlights in his career against Kansas City. One, I believe, was a toss sweep in 2016 to Tyreek Hill, where Byard got turned around and fell down like a basketball player getting his ankles broken on a crossover when Tyreek Hill ran right by him. And another was in the playoff game against Kansas City. Byard really was a non-factor early in the game when Kansas City was just moving the ball up and down the field at will on the Titans. I'll go my picks to click. I'm going to go Derrick Henry on offense. I mean, the truth of the matter is, you guys can make excuses all you want for why they didn't give him the ball at Carolina. The offensive line played poorly. The penalties,
see what
whatever.
I don't.
It doesn't. I don't care. I do not care about why the Titans cannot establish the run today with Derrick Henry. The truth is, if the run does not get established today with Derrick Henry, the Tennessee Titans will lose. That is as simple as that. And we've talked about finding a way to win and playing better than they've played, playing better than they've played all year and all kinds of. Well, guess what? Find a way to run the ball today. Find a way to get to about 35, 37 minutes time of possession today, and you can only do that if Derrick Henry's moving the football. And he's going to have to punch it into the end zone, because when the Titans get to the red zone, they're going to have to score touchdowns, not kick field goals. Kicking field goals are not an option today because, A, you can't kick, and, B, you know Kansas City's not going to be doing a bunch of kicking. So you're going to have to score touchdowns, and I put a lot of that on Derrick Henry. We say this, right? Derrick Henry's the best offensive player the Titans have, right? Mm-hmm. Should we not expect the Titans to lean on him in a game that they absolutely have to have?
Okay. Can I do that for? Can I say it for you? Okay.
Okay.
I mean, yeah. I mean, they do have to run the ball, but it all goes back to situational. I mean, if he runs the ball the first time, and it's on first down, and it's second and 12. Do you give it to him again?
My whole point is that you can't be in second and 12. So it has to be better than that.
But see that
he has to be better. They have to be.
I agree. That's
my whole point, is the whole thing. Again, we can call them reasons. We can call them excuses. Whatever you want to couch it as. For the reason that Derrick got two carries for 4 yards in the first half against Carolina. I don't care. Those can't happen today.
17.
The Jack Conklin false start. That can't happen.
Right?
That then put you in first and 15, so now you can't. That cannot happen.
But
and the Titans can't wait to get down 17-0 to start handing the ball off again.
But see, that you just made a good point. Conklin jumps off sides. It's first and 15. Do you still give Henry the ball?
Again, my whole point is today, those can't happen. And if they do happen, then people need to go to the bench, or they got to do something about it. Because as Floyd says, either you're coaching it, or you're allowing it to happen, and the Titans can't get the same penalties and the same mistakes from the same guys and keep running them out there and expect differences.
But then if you take Conklin out, do you put Pamphil in?
Did you put Kelly in?
Yeah, I'm just saying, Kelly. Who are you going to put in?
I don't care. Again, I don't care. If the idea here, it's like you guys are just setting me up.
Yes, we are.
For, well, why they can't do something. Well, if they can't do it, then don't show up and don't even go into the stadium. Because that's the attitude I feel like you two have right now when it comes to my lack of accepting of BS excuses for why this running back, who has run for 150 yards in the playoffs against this team, can't run well today.
Floyd, just smile and nod.
That's it.
Okay, that's it.
I mean, you guys are just giving them excuses. It's like you're still on the Titans payroll. It's what it feels like.
Nah, I love you.
Defensively, man. I'm going to Dory Jackson. He's going to have the biggest. He's got Tyreek Hill today. And Tyreek Hill, and while I think Kelsey may be the best player on that offense, Hill is the game breaker. Mm-hmm. And they absolutely cannot let Tyreek Hill break the game today. And Adoree Jackson, who is a fast guy, I don't think he's as fast as Tyreek.
No.
But Adoree is going to probably be matched up on Tyreek. And look, if Mecole Hardman beats you, you have to tip your cap to Kansas City and say congratulations, good job. But Hill is the guy who is an absolute game breaker out there. And so I'm going with Jackson today. Hopefully that he can make some plays with Tyreek Hill.
When did you start liking Adoree Jackson?
I didn't say I love Adoree Jackson. I did not like Adoree Jackson. He has not played well this season.
Yeah.
Although I thought he had a pretty good game outside of missing the interception he should have had against Carolina last week.
Yeah.
But he hasn't played up to standard. But with Malcolm Butler out, the Titans don't have a choice anymore.
I mean, that's a great point, yeah.
You guys have just nothing to add about anything today, do you?
Good.
You got it.
We're good.
The Titans, meanwhile, it's time now to take a look at Mike Vrabel's keys to the game. And unlike these two, who think the Titans have no chance to run the football today with Derrick Henry, Mike Vrabel's first key is to run the ball with – well, no, that's not his first key. That's his second key. His first key is, I believe – pull this up. I'm already getting all worked up over here. I believe his first key today for Mike Vrabel is that the Titans – are going to have to limit the explosive plays from the guys like Tyreek Hill.
Well, we're going to have to do a great job. Last week, we played pretty good defense up until, you know, four plays for 140 yards, and that hurts you. That kills you. We're going to have to contain these guys. They've got a couple receivers, obviously Hill and Hardman, that are averaging almost 20 yards a catch. Mahomes likes to extend plays. LeSean McCoy and Williams both have explosive games running the football, so this is an explosive team.
Floyd, how do you limit the explosive plays?
Oh, man, it's scary. I mean, first of all, you have to be smart in what you're doing. We talked about this before. But, you know, you can't put yourself in a situation where you expect them to throw the ball down the field and you decide that, you know, we're going to play man for man or you know, no free safety, something. So safeties are going to be a giant factor in eliminating those big plays, simply because they're going to have to be back there and help. I mean, I don't, you know, even if, and this is kind of the predicament you're getting into, even if Adoree can run with Hill or Hardman, whichever, who's going to run with the other one, you know, and is that Sims? And if it's Sims, then, you know, it's going to be hard. So the safeties really step in. The safeties become a giant factor. And they're just going to have to be smart about everything that they do. And that's why I said before, I mean, you're going to have to be patient now. They're going to gain yards. They're going to move the ball. You have to keep them out of the end zone.
You know, and I know a lot of times we think of explosive play being just down the field, throw the ball. Explosive play when you're giving a speed sweep to Tyreek Hill. Or him catching a slant and him, instead of getting tackled for 15 yards, he takes it 70 yards. We can't give up those type of plays. We got to rally around and tackle. If they catch the ball, tackle them on that spot. If they have a reverse, the defensive end's got to stay home. Things like that. Just don't be out of position to not make to keep them from making explosive plays.
I think they've got to keep the, like, when the big gain happens, it's not okay, but at least keep them from going out there and putting it in the end zone. You know, see if your defense can hold them to a field goal or something in that regard, because they're going to get some big plays. Yeah. I mean, they've got a good enough team to do that. The second key for Mike Vrabel, let the big dog eat, run the football with Derrick Henry.
Well, it has to – we got to play games that are complementary. And keeping a score close, keeping it, you know, being balanced, complementary, using a running game to give ourselves a chance in a play actions, those screens that we hit, and then decide when we're going to throw the football down the field. So we just need to get going on it earlier and not get behind the chains like last week.
What do we think Vrabel said? Got to get behind it early, got to keep themselves from being behind the chains. How do they do that this week?
It all starts with the offensive line. I mean, I know Henry's a powerful runner and a great runner, but the offensive line has to block and open those lanes, and you got to make sure he gets to the second level. And if he gets to the second level and make those punishing runs, then I think they can be successful. And also, look at the playoff game that they played 3 years ago when Henry ran the ball. In the fourth quarter, that Kansas City Chiefs team did not want to tackle him. That's the kind of passion and that's the kind of anger that Henry has to run, you know, in this game. But it all starts with the offensive line.
First down. I go back to first down. Mm-hmm. You know, it starts with, and you heard him, you know, they're going to have to be balanced. They're going to have to be smart. They're going to have to undoubtedly run the ball, but they can't run into a brick wall. You know, they've got to be smarter than that, and they've got to say, hey, if he's not gaining yards, then we've got to do it another way, you know, which includes short passes and screens and bubbles and, you know, all the different other options that you have. But, I mean, they're going to have to be productive on first down. It's got to be second and six or less, or we're going to be in trouble.
And the final key from Mike Vrabel, win in both red zones.
Now, we've been getting down there, and we've been scoring touchdowns, and we have to do that. And when they move the ball and they get down there, we can deflate them a little bit by forcing them to kick field goals. So if we can continue to score touchdowns, that's going to help us. And then, and obviously, we got to keep the Chiefs out of the end zone and force them to kick field goals.
Without Malcolm Butler and Jarrell Casey, Floyd Reese, how hard is that going to be to keep the Chiefs from scoring touchdowns when they get down to the red zone?
Well, I'm not sure how good they are in the red zone.
Because they spend so much time out of it?
They score so often from the 50 that they don't, they get down to the 20, it's kind of a downer for them. So I'm not sure that's their strong suit. I'm not taking anything away from them. I'm sure they're going to be effective at it. But, you can't throw a 50-yard pass in the red zone. And I'm not sure, Kelsey becomes a factor. Now the running backs become a factor. But you may eliminate, you may actually help yourself with those speed receivers a little bit when you get down, inside the 20.
I think it benefits us, the Tennessee Titans, if they do get in the red zone and make them kick field goals, because if you look at what the Kansas City Chiefs do well, they're so good in space. So when you get to the red zone, you really don't have that much space and everything's tightened up. So that helps the corners, that helps the safety, because they know that, those guys, they can't go deep if they're inside the 20. So if they get to the 20, we just got to be a defense that doesn't break, just give up field goals.
I do wonder, too, for the Titans, if when they get in the red zone, if that kind of limits, Hardeman, I don't think is really an option in the red zone for them. Now, Hill is obviously still an option, but Kelsey is the guy when they get to the red zone. It's like they're going to have to triple team Kelsey when they get to the red zone, because everybody knows Mahomes is going to be looking for Kelsey to try to score. The other thing, too, and we don't know this about Mahomes' knee, what about his scrambling ability today? Because if he does get loose, he can take the football into the end zone himself. At least when he's healthy.
Yeah, and I'm sure that they're going to be wanting to limit all of that. Mm-hmm. I'm sure if they're telling him anything, they're telling him not to run with a football. Or if you're going to run, make sure you can get out of bounds, or make sure you don't take a hit, simply because you don't know how it's going to react if, in fact, you do take a hit on it. Because he has not, been hit since the incident, which is, 24 days or something, whatever it is. He has not been hit, and so it may not react well.
Coming up next, our game day picks, our keys to the game, plus our game day picks, what has to happen for the Titans to win today, and the final score. And Floyd, congratulations. I heard that by picking Carolina and their victory last Sunday, you have officially cracked the win column for the 2019 season. So you and the Dolphins are on the same plane this year of picking the games. Meanwhile, the Bengals, who you bet $100 on this year, the Bengals are still behind at, what are they, 0-8, 0-9 so far this year?
Yeah.
The Dolphins are trying to lose, and the Bengals may end up with the number one pick. Poor Joe Burrow. That's coming up next. It's the Pregame Show live from the George Jones on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Titans and Chiefs getting set for battle at Nissan Stadium. Patrick Mahomes looking like Patrick Mahomes in warm-ups today, as he will make his return after suffering a dislocated kneecap. Mahomes is in. Couple offensive linemen down today for the Chiefs. And LeSean McCoy is out today for the Chiefs. For the Titans, a handful of big names. Jayon Brown is out. Jarrell Casey is out. Delanie Walker is out once again, which that, of course, is a whole other concern, is what all is going on with Walker. And Corey Davis is out today for the Titans. I don't even remember Corey Davis getting hurt in the Carolina game. So it must have been a hip injury that flared up after the game or during practice this week, or another little injury for Corey
another
Davis.
Another mysterious illness. I don't know where they come from.
Which is where Corey Davis stands. It's time now for us to make our keys to the game, for us to at least give our keys to the game. We start, of course, with the GM, Floyd Reese. What are the keys for the Titans to win today?
Well, on offense, I'll go back to my first down theory. They're going to have to be effective on first down. They're going to have to be effective so that they can convert on third down. If they can convert on third down, then they can keep the chains moving, keep them off the field. Can't have any turnovers. We're going to have to, I think, be realistic on what we can do and be patient. On defense, I mean, Dean Pease, which is the best thing Dean does, is, I mean, he can mix it up. He can mix and match and figure out, you know, the best time to do the best thing, a la what they did against New England last year. And I think this is going to be one of those type games for him. He's going to have to do a great job of being able to do everything, but only in very specific situations. And I think he will do that.
Chris Sanders, yes, for you today, your keys to the game for the Titans to win.
I think for offense, number one, we have to start fast. If you look at the games that we lost, we didn't start fast, and we had penalties and all those crazy things. And then number two, we got to convert third downs. And how do you convert third downs? You have to give the ball to Henry and stay in front of the chains. And number three on offense, we can't have a lot of penalties and drive killers like we had last week. We had 11 for 99. We just can't do that. And on defense, there's one thing they have to do is they can't give up the explosive plays, and that starts with the secondary.
I think the Titans are going to have to turn over Kansas City today. And I don't know, you know, Kansas City's not a turnover team. It's not like Jameis Winston is their quarterback. But they're going to need to turn them over. Give the offense some short fields. Maybe even give yourself a touchdown defensively. Something that will kind of rattle the Kansas City cages. So that's kind of my first thing is Titans are going to have to force a turnover or two in this game. Number two, special teams, please. Please give me something today on special teams. The Titans cannot return punts. They can't return kicks. They can't kick. Even Kern last week against Carolina was not very good kicking, punting the football. Please, special teams. I am begging. First step is just don't screw up. Second step is just give me something today on special teams. Floyd brought it up. Today's probably a day you might see fake punt, fake field goal, fake set. Do some, please, special teams. Please do something. And then my final key is I believe Ryan Tannehill and the Titans receivers are going to have to elevate their game today. It's not going to have to be to the level of Mahomes. I'm not asking to throw for 400 yards, but I am probably asking for 350. And I am probably asking, which he's done, he's thrown 300 yards twice.
True.
I'm probably asking for 350 and maybe two or three touchdowns. And, I mean, I need the receivers to make plays. Sharp, Humphreys, Brown, even Raymond, if he gets in there with the loss of Corey Davis. I need them to make plays today. Cody Hollister activated from the practice squad. Maybe he gets in there. I don't know. But I need Tannehill and the receivers to elevate their game to at least try to keep up with Kansas City. It's time now for our game day picks. Floyd Reese, congratulations. You're no longer completely defeated on the season after you picked Carolina last week and they got the win. We start, of course, with Chris Sanders.
Yes, sir.
Chris, who wins today and why?
I'm going with the Chiefs, 28-17. And the reason why I'm going with the Chiefs is I think on offense they have too much firepower. And I don't know if the secondary can stay with those receivers. And it all depends on what the secondary does with their receivers. They just have too many guys on the perimeter, and then they have some backs, Williams, that's going to exploit the Tennessee Titans.
28-17 for Chris. Floyd Reese, who wins today and why?
I'm going with Kansas City, 41-40.
Woo!
simply because, I'm 2 out of 3 with 41-40. And so I gotta hope that some way, somehow, we squeak this one out.
I'm going Chiefs 30. I'm going to go Chiefs 33-13. I mean, I think the Chiefs are going to win this game. They're going to win this game handedly. And I just think Kansas City has too much firepower. The Titans will put up a nice little fight early, but Kansas City blows them out. We will be back. Not next week, because next week is a bye, but we'll be back the following week for the pregame show, live from the George Jones, Chris Sanders, Floyd Reese, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big.